don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Friday, August 7th, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead, live, both of us, snugly tight inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. I did just essentially share that it is a warm blanket in here today. I that'll be the last sleeping analogy. I'm not going to say, you know, who are you sleeping on Clemson's rock. I can't do it today. I can't do it today because I'm tired. I'm heavily caffeinated, but also tired. But I'm kind of like jacked up. Like this is one of those days that the energy in the building is kind of weird, and this show could go a lot of directions. So I'm excited for that. Ben Milstead, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Mr. B said snugly tight is wild. Well, you're not wrong. We maybe for the first time ever in this building, we are in the same studio, like literally in the same room, not in the same building. We're in the same room today. We're still doing a little bit of work on the main studio. So Quack will be in here with me for at least some of that. If you call in and I whisper when I answer, that is why. Nevertheless, things have changed since you've been here. It feels like it's been about a month since we were in the same location.
I'm trying to think. It would have been, what day did I leave? It was Monday, right?
You so left was, on a Sunday, right? Or you left on a Monday.
Monday, so it was So it was literally two Fridays ago. We did nine shows in different – or 9 days of shows. Yeah. Probably six, if you count the games in the shows, six games or shows in different locations.
We played game two of Clemson basketball yesterday. That went well. I forgot I was listening to a recorded game, so that was fun. But, no, I enjoyed that. And, really just grateful that – you got the opportunity, we got the opportunity to broadcast those three games from Italy. I mean, what a cool experience that was for us and you. So, but I know you're happy to be home.
I'm excited to be
back
home.
Back to cool weather.
Back to cool weather. Honestly, I walked outside this morning early, probably like 6:30, just to grab something. And I was like, man, this is the life. Now, I will say, if I had been up that early on a routine basis – when we were in Como, you would have felt that a little. With breeze off the lake, it was a little bit cooler, and then would get up to, 97 in the afternoon. I'm excited for 87. When we did get back last night, the humidity absolutely choked me out. I was absolutely choked out by the humidity in the air last night. But nevertheless, I'm excited to be here. I have to tell – I've never flamed an airline before. And you know what? I'm not going to do it today. And you know why? Because there are lots of great people who are working for the airline that we used yesterday all over the world that are doing their jobs. And there were a lot of people yesterday that were also victims of absolute malpractice in Milan, Italy. But just know that there is an entire basketball program's worth of luggage sitting somewhere in the Milan airport, thousands of miles away, and it will come to us sometime between now and the rapture. Ben, I've never seen such. And you know what? Neither had the workers in the airport.
How many people are we talking in this travel party?
We are I believe it was 40. So I think the whole, going there, I think there were 59 people on the flight there. Now, some people had different plans and some people had different stuff. I'm gonna conservatively say that we're talking about 40 people minimum, and I bet it's actually north of that. And when I say all of our bags, I mean all of the bags. Every single bag that was checked in the process of checking bags is still in Milan.
How in the world does that happen?
With dozens of bags. I mean, think about it. You got 40 people. Let's say.
And you guys were gone 10 days or so, more than that. That's a lot of luggage.
Yes.
A lot of, I'm guessing, Tiger Paws on luggage. Orange stuff.
All over the place. Oh, yeah.
How,
I'm going to say minimum 60 bags. We're talking about, and let's say 60 bags at 30 pounds a bag. Let's say that. Let's just generously say that. We are talking about a literal ton. A literal ton of luggage. Did no one pack in that plane think, this is as empty a cargo hold as I've ever seen?
The pilots know the weight of the plane, too. They're going, this is the lightest international flight we've ever flown.
I mean, like, how do you not pack? You know what? With the process we had yesterday, there were like three different places where people went to get bags checked. Like, it was a process. There were lots of things that went wrong. Police had to be called, Ben. Policia in the airport because a young lady left her carry-on unattended as she weaved through the check
line.
How
dare you?
And when I say I was in the blast zone, I mean like was moving me back, Ben, so that somebody could come and wipe that thing down and make sure it was okay. I looked at somebody else in our travel party, and he was like, surely that's one of ours. That's one of our guys, right? That's one of our – like trying to talk it into existence.
Oh, my.
I'm not – so like we all sort of were holding our breath like, please, please don't be something terrible. And it wasn't, because as it's being wiped down, I'm not kidding, the girl walks up and goes, is there a problem? I'm not even – is there a problem? And the Italian police, who are not friendly, they are very much about their work. They are not friendly. The Italian policeman essentially was like, you idiot little girl. I don't speak Italian. But that's basically it. You idiot little girl. Yes, there's a problem. Why would you do this, you moron? And she basically looked at him and went, okay. they walked off with it.
Texture said that's the easiest way for them to get Clemson merch in Italy. So somebody's wearing your stuff now.
Listen, don't say that.
One of those missing boxes is an equipment case that has about $13,000 worth of equipment in it. So
yes.
There's that.
Yes.
I'm not at all worried about that.
Oh, buddy.
Hey, boss. about that charge that's going to show up on your card. Just never mind.
The process when we got to Atlanta and figured out what was happening, the fact that that process did not result in one or more members of the travel party getting detained by airport security is actually a miracle.
Now, you know, I travel with Don Munson and Tim Buray quite often. Both Don and Tim would have had that in their 12-day luggage in an overhead bin. I mean, they would have been like a backpack and a duffel bag. Me, I'm going to have two rolling suitcases. I'm the worst overpacker in the world. When we went to the beach, you know, a month ago, I hang up everything. It's just not weird. It actually is very convenient if you have the closet space. Like, when I say everything, I'm talking about T-shirts, everything. When we unpacked at home, I just went into the closet and in our little camper, and I bet I had 15 shirts hung up, and I just took them from that rack back inside. I'm like, I wore like three things in 10 days.
Yeah, I will pack smarter if I ever get to do that again. I will pack smarter because I had way too many polos and too few like T-shirts. So I had I had probably six clean polos and maybe one clean T-shirt left. Also, the convenience of laundry. Like, there are a couple laundromats within walking distance from pretty much everywhere we were. So we could have done, you know, I could have done some laundry while we were there. I probably still would have had I probably still would have checked a bag. But it was a lot. So that was not a great way to end the festivities. But that was like the only thing that went wrong the whole trip.
Well, You save the best for last, so. I would rather that happen on your way home than on your way there.
Oh, easily. So oh, man. Can you imagine?
That's the silver lining in this story. Texter, a couple of housekeeping things here real quick. Number one, if you're not following the Roar Fam on social now, you are missing out. Our social media team and our ramped up efforts in that are exploding. The videos are Quack, I'm finding myself like I watched a video of Mickey and Ashby. I saw this live and I still watched the video and laughed. So
that was really good. The Marcus Freeman hairline one.
That
very, very good.
I just see one here about Sam and Faxon riding a moped together. I don't know if I want to know this story, but I'm intrigued. I haven't heard that one, so I'm going to have to watch that video during a break, maybe.
Surely Sam was driving. Surely it wasn't Faxon driving a two-wheeled vehicle.
Also, if the scene from Dumb and Dumber doesn't immediately pop into your head, you're not a red-blooded American. I mean, you're not. Second thing, Texter right out of the gate ask about the college football kickoff show. You're going to hear more about this, but folks, it is August 27th, 5 to 8 o'clock. It is in a new location that I just visited this week, and when I say blown away, that is an understatement. It is at Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley. It is literally 4 minutes from our station. How I did not know it was there is beyond me. It blew me away what all they had in there. And you're going to hear a whole lot more about that. But if you here, think the gathering spot or gathering, the one in Greenville, think that, but indoors. That's the way like the restaurants and all are laid out in there. They've got a 600-seat amphitheater outside.
Who?
This is a first class. I cannot believe this is right here, literally in our backyard. So I am jacked up about and the texts are rolling in about Southern Weaving. You can get there easily from pretty much anywhere. That's the other thing. So I'm excited that we're going to be in this location. The way we do things during the show is going to be a little different too. So it will not just be a repeat of years past. I want everybody, I want to fill this place up. So make a note of that. August 27th from 5 to 8 o'clock. Our new t-shirts will be unveiled and they are really, really good.
I'm excited for the show. I'm excited we have a location and a date, and it is going to be quite fun. It is going to be a really, really good time. I get excited about it every year, and it is one of those markers right down the stretch of the off season where the things that we've been talking about on air sort of meet in a collision on one glorious night. If you've never been in person, I would encourage it. If you can't come in person, you must listen. It is not something you ever want to miss, because we're gonna hit college football 100 different ways. And like I say, it's if you've heard us say one thing a few weeks ago and heard somebody else say something 2 weeks ago, chances are it all comes out in this one show. So I would highly, highly encourage you to do that. In the show today, I've got some thoughts on Dabo Swinney's press conference. I'm going to play a clip or two from that. I have some more thoughts, things that I'm thinking and feeling about Clemson. So we'll get to some of that. We're going to play Ben Bulwer's interview at 2:05 today, and because we haven't done that yet, and his thoughts on the linebackers, because I do have some questions and thoughts on linebackers. We're going to talk Braves today. I haven't talked as much Braves in the last couple days. We're going to talk Congress, which I'm excited about. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in. A lot of folks already texting the show, Adam's Goerfing text line. You can get in on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines as well. Hour one continues right after this.
The countdown is on.
Is on.
29 days until Clemson Tiger football, presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
love the saving.
Watson in shotgun, takes his shotgun snap, play action, wants to throw, going long, look for Mike Williams, up he goes the ladder and makes the grab at the Alabama 31.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
This hour brought to you by our friends at the South Carolina Education Lottery. You know, one of the things I love about the lottery is that it's responsive to people just like me who are in-state students who just want to further their education. And so when you play the lottery, that's who you're benefiting. Billions of dollars over the past quarter century have gone to funding scholarships through the LIFE, the HOPE, the Palmetto Fellow programs, and that's going directly to South Carolina students attending South Carolina institutions. So when you play the lottery, you know that your dollars are staying right here. And that's something that I think is truly special. And it's a great opportunity to give somebody a chance at a fresh start, at a new life. That's what the South Carolina Education Lottery does. There's also a portion of the proceeds from the lottery goes to K-12 education, which we love that too in South Carolina classrooms. For more, go to seeducationlottery.com/BETTER and the letter U.
More wall-to-wall sports.
Yes!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
All right, hour number one continues out of bounds. You know, it's crazy. We're talking about this, and I got a lot to say today. And I mean, I was dead to the world last night. And I, you know, proverbially did not miss a moment that I didn't watch of preseason football. Ben, I think for the first time since maybe I was too young to know better, I think I might have to start watching preseason NFL football.
Okay. Interesting that you say that because I am not a big preseason guy myself. And Hall of Fame game shouldn't even be called a game in most years. I mean, it is normally horrible. They've been practicing a week, right?
Yeah, it's normally like 12 to 7.
You remember there was one year it got kind of foggy on the field, and it's like, yeah, screw it. Let's just stop. We're not going to play anymore. You know, it's always horrible. And then you had two bad teams last night in this. So somebody here, might have been Faxon, asked me if I was going to watch it, and I laughed. I'm like, are you kidding? Of course not. And then there wasn't anything else on TV. Is it possible last night was the best Hall of Fame game that's ever existed since the beginning of mankind?
Highly, highly possible.
And I did come to this realization, perhaps, that when you put two bad teams against each other, it cancels out and it still is entertaining. And I felt like that's also both could be, I think both teams will be better than they were last year, but I mean, Panthers defense looked similar to last year's Panthers defense, so that's concerning. But Kwok, it was ACC quarterback showcase last night. You had, little Kenny Pickett out there playing, and Jacoby Brissett. Well, he didn't play, but Carson Beck with the Cardinals looked like an. And to steal a line from the broadcast, I was like, he looked like a 10-year vet. I was shocked at how good he looked. Keeping in mind he's going against the Panthers defense, a lot of us would look good in that situation. But 15 of 19 for 188 yards. And then the story might have been Haynes King.
Yes.
The guy that's not supposed to be able to throw the football. And you saw the running ability that we all saw in college. He runs in the winning touchdown. Like the Panthers apparently never, ever saw him play in college and were surprised that he would actually run at the goal line.
That was amazing. I'm like, you got to spy that guy a little closer to the line of scrimmage. So you can't be on your heels with this guy.
You're not supposed to get too excited about these, and I get it. You're not supposed to read too much into it. You can't tell me as a Panther fan that you watched that game last night and saw the skill set of Haynes King and knowing what you've got in little Bryce Young, You can't tell me you weren't thinking, okay, I see packages here for Haynes King, because those two guys contrast each other as perfectly as they possibly could. One's a big, tough guy. The other one is a china glass. You know, one loves to run. The other one, I'm certain, is told not to run, like a lot of NFL quarterbacks. I sold myself. I'm not a Panthers fan, but I sold myself that there's a way to make those two guys work, especially in a goal line situation or a red zone situation. Can I sell you on that? And then, you know, Carson Beck was, I mean, he was as advertised.
Can I tell you something? When you watch that last night, and this is what I actually think that preseason football is good for. Preseason football is about your floor. Because, like, if I can recall, like, during the Peyton Manning era of the Colts, where they would lose every preseason game. Because the only players that were going to win for you were, like, the frontline guys. They didn't have depth. Offensively, like, if you didn't have Manning and Harrison and Edgerrin James and Marshall Faulk and Dallas Clark and all these guys, if you didn't have them, you're going to lose. Evidence by the fact that the one year they didn't have Peyton Manning, they picked first. It's about your floor. If you're a Panthers fan, I don't know what your what your ceiling is, but you can sell me on the fact that Kenny Pickett and Haynes King are your backup quarterbacks. You can sell me on that raising your floor. You can sell me on I can get a winning game plan for both of these guys, and I can have a well-established floor. I think I know Xavier Leggett had an injury. That stinks. I think the receiving core is fine. I think Bryce Young is fine. So, like I said, there may not be the ceiling, but I don't think this is a 4 or 5 win football team, as evidenced by the fact that they appear to have some good young players, and they appear to have multiple options, playable options at quarterback. Maybe that's true of the Cardinals too. You know, maybe I'm totally wrong about this. Everyone thinks the Cardinals are going to lose a bunch, and I'm let me say this about Carson Beck and Haynes King. Those two guys have something in common in that those guys have been part of a lot of wins.
Yeah.
Those are winning players. And so I love the fact that you've got two winners who showed up in their first preseason game and essentially played winning football for, I would say, mediocre to poor talent-laden teams.
I absolutely think the Cardinals will be better. They won 3 games last year. It'd be hard to be worse. But for both of those teams, and again, you have to balance it out with knowing that each was going against a not great team.
Yes.
So I lean more on the entertainment value of last night's game than I do learning a ton about anybody. However, what you saw from Carson Beck, I mean, again, and he's throwing a deep ball with touch last night. And then Haynes King dropped a couple right in the seam where it needed to be. And he's like, oh, my gosh, where in the world did that come from? Both of those guys could not have looked any better than they did last night.
Before we go to the phones, I do want to say this. Scott and Grimm was on hold. You can get with him. 654 Roar on the Pratt Andrew Large phone lines. Cardinals number, according to DraftKings, 3.5 win total.
You know, I'm going to hold out hope for 4. I think we can get to 4.
Me too. I mean, think about that. That means you win basically once a month. A month?
And then, they had Larry Fitzgerald on the broadcast some last night. One of my all-time favorites. I mean, really. He works for the Chamber of Commerce now as a spokesman. I mean, just unbelievable guy. And I'm just remember those few times that the Cardinals were really good. I've always just sort of been drawn to them for whatever reason. SEC Hater says, I watched the first half during the Braves rain delay. It surprisingly wasn't terrible. I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Panthers 7.5, by the way. Probably pretty good. I think that's a pretty solid win total. Let's go to Scott in Greenville, who's up with us next on the Pratt Andrew Large phone line. Hey, Scott.
Welcome back, Walker. Are you actually in the studios today?
My heart and soul are in Como, but my physical body is here in America.
He's sitting in my lap, Scott. I mean, look, he's actually in. He's on my right knee as we speak.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, hey, man, I want to tell you, I appreciate the commentary for the ball games because yesterday I was laughing my butt off. I went back to work yesterday for the first time in 2.5 weeks in my wife's open heart surgery, and thankful I get to go back to work. But she,
yeah, man.
Listening to your, and you calling the dude man bun.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Can I tell you?
I got to tell you this one. So Chris Hollander, who I met on this trip, like I really didn't know him that well. Like Brad Brownell, if I call a guy man bun, Brad Brownell is just going to laugh and, you know, jab me with his elbow or whatever. And we're going to have a good time. Hollander has absolutely no idea what to do with any of this. I can see him out of the corner of my eye. I'm watching the game. I'm seeing him out of the corner of my eye. And he's just looking at Rick Bagby like, what do I do with this?
He has no idea
what to do with it. But, you know what? So I leaned in even harder. I'm like, we're just going to make sure he knows who he's dealing with. So I had
I
to do it more.
He came back with, after you said it one time, and he didn't say nothing. And then you said it again, and he was like, is that what we're doing now? It was funny. It was great commentary. So.
I think he thought he heard some, like it was one of those, okay, it sounded like he said man bun, but there's no way he really said man bun.
Well, right. one of the times I think it was after I said man bun, for whatever reason from the recesses of my brain I attributed something to Bryce James, and that's when I knew he was taken aback, because he's like, did we get a new player? And I had no idea what I'd said. He's like, did we just portal a guy while we're over here? I don't think Bryce James plays for us. So I was like, oh, okay, that's what I said. So, yeah, it was by probably the end of the third quarter, he was well aware of the game we were playing. And so I enjoyed talking to him watching the game. That was a lot of fun.
Well, y'all had a good time with it. You could tell it by listening to it. But, hey, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. One is a football-related question. I know we're going to spend the rest of eternity for this year here on Clemson football and a lot, but curious to hear your thoughts on Mississippi State. You know, my son is employed out there, and I'm curious to see what you think they're going to do this year. They got a dynamic quarterback. I don't know when you're going to get into all your college football, other teams and stuff, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And then what do you think about my Braves with the trade deadline? Not real happy yet, but we'll find out tonight what we got, because Molly's pitching against the Yankees.
That's exactly right, Scott. I appreciate the phone call. I'm glad your wife's doing well, too. Been praying for her, and really glad about that. Awesome stuff. All right, I'm going to do the Braves first. We'll talk Mississippi State a little bit here because it's kind of similar to my thoughts on the Cardinals after last night. The Braves been – I was looking at some numbers today, and, of course, it hit my algorithm because – the second best record in baseball since the All-Star break belongs to the Atlanta Braves. And quite honestly, it was, in my opinion, it was one of the reasons why they didn't bend over backwards to add. Because they're playing good baseball right now. They're in a commanding position in the division. Again, the prospect capital, like I've heard people say, well, they've got more prospects than the Padres. And my response to that is, well, everybody has more prospects than the Padres. The Padres don't care about prospects. The Braves system is not just replete with talent right now that they could just drain the system and feel like they're okay. They also probably have maxed out about what they can spend on the big league roster. So if you trade away all your prospects and you can't spend more on your big league roster, you're going to end up in a world of hurt. That's my perspective. The third best record in the major leagues, oddly enough, is the Cincinnati Reds, who didn't do anything at the trade deadline either, but they have the third best record in baseball since the All-Star break. I remain convinced that people overreacted to the fact that the Dodgers got Skubal and the Braves didn't make a big splash. I saw somebody compare it to 2021 and say it wasn't like 2021. In my opinion, it kind of was like 2021 because even though they brought in bulk outfielders, Eddie Rosario, Adam Duvall, Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson, none of those were major splash moves. None of those were huge moves. Raisel Iglesias, like that's one of the bigger moves they've made in the last five or so years. The Braves, it's almost like people are have mischaracterized what the Braves have done at the trade deadline. I like two of the three things that they did. The right-handed bat in the outfield to go with Yastrzemski. I think Lane Thomas is a really good fit there in left field. I hate that they traded Eli White away, but I think Thomas is an upgrade for White. I just do. I love what they did with the bullpen, and if you're gonna be a little bit cheap at starting pitcher, then getting innings eaters in your bullpen like a Bailey Falter who could spot start for you and go bulk if he's called up in a doubleheader situation or whatever, and then a guy like Brent Suter that could pitch multiple innings every day. I hate the Tyler Mahle acquisition. I hate how he's pitched at San Francisco. I hate how hurt he's been his whole life. I just hate it in all the ways. And so we will see tonight, Ben, as he takes the mound against I can't remember who's pitching for the Yankees tonight off the top of my head. Anyway, going against New York, we'll see if it was a good move or not. So far, again, there's reason to like what the Braves are and who they've been playing. Is it Freed tonight?
Freed tonight.
Okay, so, boy.
That won't hurt.
No. I would not expect Tyler Mahle to beat Max Freed tonight.
The Braves, the next three series, all three game series, Yankees, Mets, Diamondbacks. Two of those are playoff teams. And the Yankees, or the Mets rather, have owned you this year. So get me through these next 90 games at least 5-4. I'll take that. Because that's a tough stretch. And then you're just a series away from Brewers, Dodgers back to back. Yikes.
Yeah. Those are tough. Although the Red Sox didn't think the Dodgers were hard to beat at all.
Gotta keep that, yeah, that's true. Gotta keep that momentum. Right now, you're not going to keep winning them all, but I mean, it's fine with me if you do.
I'll tell you what, if you keep hitting the ball to the place where two defenders come together and it bonks over the fence, I was like, do you know, if that happened live on the air, you might have an all-time rant from me. Yeah. My team needs donk off the head over the – Ron Acuna doesn't need somebody donking the ball over the freaking fence. He can hit it himself.
Yeah, center fielder, right fielder ran into each other last night, catching a Ronald Acuna fly ball to the wall, and they literally knocked it over the wall.
It's a freaking Bob Saget, America's Funniest Home Videos video. Boom. Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's awesome.
Absolutely ridiculous. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more texts and calls. We'll talk Braves. I'm going to answer the question about Mississippi State when we return.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October,
we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Right here on The Roar.
The Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar,
where every day is game day.
This hour brought to you in part by our great friends at Industrial Motor Service, located in Anderson. IndustrialMotorService.com is the website. If you run a plant, a shop, a manufacturing facility, you know how important those electric motors are. And when they're down, you are down. That's no good. You need to have someone that does the preventative maintenance on those, that is on a repair program and a maintenance program, so they are there when the emergency hits you. They have 24/7 emergency service. They can repair AC, DC, and servo motors. They also do pumps, gear reducers, gearboxes, AC, DC controllers. Very specialized in what they do, and they provide a great service because, as I said, if one of these motors go down, it's a great chance your whole system is down. Get to know Industrial Motor Service in Anderson, industrialmotorservice.com, or give them a call, 226-2893.
All right, we talked about the Braves. Let me say a couple more things about the Braves, and then I'll answer Scott's question about Mississippi State. And really, I think a question that we need to ask about a lot of teams in the country that we can ask about Mississippi State. Red Sox, Braves, Reds, Brewers, Astros, the five teams with a win percentage of 667 or better since the trade deadline. And what's interesting is the Braves, Reds, Brewers, and Astros, all of them, like, people have just crushed them for how they dealt with the deadline and with their different assets or whatever. They all got sort of, below C or below grades. The Red Sox have gotten kind of skewered for giving up five prospects, including a top one or two prospect in their system, for Adley Rutschman, who really – what he's given – he's a really good player, but what he's actually produced for the Orioles was probably not worth that haul. The next best record since the All-Star break, which is amazing, the Cubs, who got really aggressive, the Tigers, who were the opposite, and the Padres, who got really aggressive. Most of the teams that are playing good baseball right now didn't do a lot at the trade deadline. Now, there could be a number of reasons for that. Personally, I do think the Dodgers are sort of the force that is lording over the sport right now, and I'm convinced that when the Dodgers got Skubal, you just have to hope that they're hurt or that you catch lightning in a bottle. You're just not going to be able to really – you're not going to be able to really beat them, like, on paper. You're not going to win that on paper. Now, like I said, I think starting Tyler Mahle every fifth day, or allegedly starting Tyler Mahle every fifth day, is just not – it's not a winning formula for the Braves. Now, on the other hand, when Tyler Mahle has been healthy over his career, he actually has been pretty good. He's been really good in the Braves' ballpark, whether it was Turner or Truist. He's been really good in his career. I think he had made 23 combined starts in three seasons or something like that prior to this year. We'll see how he throws tonight. If I were a Braves fan, I would watch tonight holding your breath that nothing goes wrong in this start for Tyler Mahle. Because at this point, you need him to be good. You need him to be really good. I'm gonna link Mississippi State and Clemson, if you'll give me a moment here. Scott asked about Mississippi State. I was actually looking at their win total this morning for some unrelated stuff. Mississippi State's win total is 4.5. So you don't even have to make a bowl to go over. Mississippi State last year went 5-7, lost in the bowl game. They beat a ranked team in Arizona State. That was a home game, but they beat them. They won two road games. Now, one was at Southern Miss, and the other one was at Arkansas. So, I mean, do with that what you will. Their other two wins are Alcorn State and Northern Illinois. But here's what's interesting to me about Mississippi State. Mississippi State lost in overtime to Tennessee at home. They lost in overtime to Texas at home. They lost at Texas A&M, they lost at Florida by two. They were 9-point underdogs. They lost by two there. Those are three games they could have had and didn't. If they get two of those three, they end up 7-5. This is a team with a win total of 4.5. Last year, at quarterback, they had Blake Shapen, who only threw for 15 touchdowns and wasn't running the ball very well. They kind of were just smoke and mirrors. Fluff Bothwell's back. He's a 700-yard rusher. Anthony Evans is back. He's an 800-yard receiver. You have Marquise Johnson from Missouri, who is a highly thought-of portal acquisition. You have some questions offensive line, and then you had about, I would say, a few good players back on defense, and you lost a few. Here's what I would say, though. The key reason that you're confident in Mississippi State is Jeff Lebby with a 6'4", 230-pound quarterback in Kamario Taylor. That's what you're excited about. One of the things that I remain convinced of, and we're going to talk about Dabo's press conference. You're going to hear from Ben Boulware later on in the show. Clemson, I think Clemson fans have a lot of reason to be excited about what they've heard, what people have seen, some of the reports, and some of the conversation around the Tigers right now. But you have a team in Mississippi State that has a dynamic quarterback that is literally the thing that people are most excited about. Again, 6'4", 230, he's a young quarterback, he's raw. He is what I would file into the idea of a player category. And I was thinking about this today. Driving down the road, just sort of alone with my thoughts. And I had the thought that Christopher Vezina is sort of still in the idea category for us. He's only really played heavily one time in his whole career. The idea of a player, I've said this many times, Ben, people get tired of me saying it. The idea of a player is always better than a player because
right.
a player has flaws and ideas don't have flaws. I say it all the time. That's why people love backup quarterbacks, and the second the starter gets crowned, people want to play the backup. That's why people prospect hoard at the trade deadline, because the idea of a player is always better than a player. And I feel like Tate Reynolds is being talked about like an idea, that he's an idea of a player. Now, he might be really good, but he's being talked about like an idea. I think Christopher Vezina is being talked about like a player. Like, we know everything about him, and we know all this stuff. He's really more of an idea. Now, he's an idea that has been around for a long time. He's like a 27-year-old prospect in baseball where you're like, well, why haven't you gotten here yet? And again, Mississippi State's the example just because Scott brought him up. But Kamario Taylor started two times last year, 5 touchdowns and a pick. He ran the ball for over 450 yards last year. I mean, really good dual threat option at 230 pounds. Got some arm strength, got some good tools. Still an idea. Christopher Vezina has played less football than Kamario Taylor. Christopher Vezina has played less football than a lot of young quarterbacks that are being thought of as ideas. I think Christopher Vezina still, even though we feel like, well, we saw him at SMU, here's who he is. I think Christopher Vezina is still an idea. And I'm not entirely sure if I think that's a good thing or a bad thing. I haven't made a full value judgment on it yet. But one of the things I'm fascinated by at LSU is that even in my own brain, Ben, I have sort of said, well, you have to start Christopher Vezina because he's older at LSU. You have to start him. Ben, he has as much road playing experience as Tate Reynolds does. He has as much experience in the system that he's in as Tate Reynolds does. Your thoughts on, I know I threw a few things at you, but I'm thinking about the quarterback position, and again, you start looking at the types of quarterbacks that haven't had a lot of experience. A lot of them are young, but many of the guys that we talk about as inexperienced have less experience than the experienced Clemson quarterback option does.
Yeah, no, on that point, that's accurate. The one thing Tate Reynolds does not have is 2 seasons of practices under his belt. He does not have the exposure to the speed of the game. And, you know, we have seen that many, many times from great players, how it takes a little while for the speed of the game and for them to catch on to that and realize, you know, those big windows in high school are not so big at this level of football. Your points are, those are good points about, you know, he hasn't started a road game. But Tate Reynolds also hasn't played football in over a year.
That would be the downside to Reynolds to me, is that, do you want that to be your welcome back to football, much less welcome to this level?
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but he has, I truly believe he has an opportunity to win the job if he is the better guy. Somebody's got to be the leader in the clubhouse right now. And I mean, and that's Vezina. It's not, I don't even think that's in doubt, but that does not mean, I do feel like this quarterback race is different than maybe we've had in years past. I am a little concerned, and I knew it was going to be this way, how some fans, I just feel like, are not going to even give him a chance. And, you know, camp opened yesterday. Media saw, I don't know, 30 minutes or so of, you know, basically stretching and a few drills. And the Twitter reaction was, well, Tate Reynolds is clearly better. I mean, we already see that in practice one. What do you base that on? What do you base any of this on? Number one, tell me your depth of knowledge on Christopher Fazina, and maybe more importantly on Tate Reynolds. Like, we have to give them both a chance. You know, the other thing that people don't consider, man, something happens and Tate Reynolds starts the LSU game and sucks. People will just write him off too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter that he's a true freshman playing on the road. I mean, I think we've got to give both guys a chance to succeed, and we've got to give both guys a chance to fail without making up our mind before either one of those things occurs.
That's correct. I heard in 20 seconds I'm going to do this. Mickey was talking about Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Those guys in their first road game as freshmen did not do very well. Like, the first road game is just not great. But they were in those environments, so the second time they went on the road, they did much better. And I'm wondering if that is where, if you let Tate Reynolds fail at LSU, you might let him succeed at Cal. I want to talk about that a little bit coming up. Stay with us. 654-ROAR is the number. Hour 2 of the program is up next.
105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT AM 1560.